Now this is like Big Boy.
Yeah.
Do you hear me? A new hope.
A new hope for the podcast. So,
sometimes it's fucking painful trying to GM. Okay, you're listening to Double Triumph, a podcast dedicated to Star Wars role-playing in the FFG system for Edge of the Empire and Age of Rebellion in the UK. This is Bob Shoy and...
This is Adam Tiss.
I'm just going to talk now and cut it to the beginning of this episode. Just talk about how this was possibly episode one. Because if we just go in and be like, hey, we've been GFing and there isn't a previous episode,
people
might be like, what's this one?
Okay,
so we recorded episode one of this podcast last week, which went up as episode zero, purely because the sound wasn't fantastic and there was no real focus to what we were talking about.
Not at all.
So, depending on how we feel, that episode might disappear from online.
Probably will.
So if you've got it, wow, you've got a one-of-a-kind rarity from Double Triumph.
Yeah.
Hold on to that. I want to see it on Pirate Bay.
Yeah, that's it.
So that's why, if that stays on, it's just going to be listed as issue zero, and this is going to be, episode one.
Episode one, Double
Triumph. This is episode one, The Phantom Menace of Double Triumph.
And the name Double Triumph, where does that come from, Bob?
It just comes from our excitement of the first time someone in our group rolled a Double Triumph. I know you can roll Triple Triumph, Quadruple Triumph, if you're that leveled up, but... Still, that first Double Triumph.
It's getting to that point where we have our stats just enough to get two triumphs.
Yeah, and it was the turning point in the game where people were getting a bit more leveled up and exciting things happened.
Yeah.
Although, in all our time of playing, we've only ever rolled a despair once.
Exactly.
When the despair comes up,
as
a GM, I get excited.
Yeah. I'm yet to get excited.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because all the rolls we had on this session...
We're
like weak because it's like they're all such low level characters. Yeah. We used to play in Edge of the Empire with the characters that are like really leveled up.
Yeah. And even then we can get some
stinkers.
Proper stinkers.
So this is the real episode one.
This is the real one.
This is for real episode one. And this is A New Hope.
A New Hope for the podcast. After one.
And from now on we'll have... more focus, be more professional.
Yeah.
Try and have some guests on. I say get a lot like celebrities, members of our group.
Yeah.
Talking about their characters, talking about whatever, the game, and we'll be giving out like tips.
Giving insight into the minds of GM.
So if we, if you want to tweet us, either of us, just leave us a comment or, ask us any questions or anything, we'll read it out. So if you want to contact me, it's at Bob Shoy, that's at B-O-B-S-H-O-Y.
And at Tiss R. Wolf, that's T-I-S-S-A-R-E-W-O-L-F.
That's it. And IGM for Edge of the Empire with Tiss GMing Age of Rebellion. Tiss just had his first go at GMing ever.
Yep.
With the Age of Rebellion beginner game running the Whisper Base story. How was it?
Yeah, it was good. I really enjoyed it. More than I thought I would.
More than you thought you would?
I didn't think I would enjoy it, but I enjoy it almost more than playing. In fact, no, more than playing.
Definitely. More than playing?
More than playing.
Wow.
I love it. It's great.
Okay, that's cool.
I'm interested to see how it all works. When I'm doing my own stories, I feel like it would be better because reading the book is kind of it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to follow the book story. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, you didn't pre-read the story. You went the beginner game advises to play through like as you read.
Yeah.
And there was like a lot of us. There was five players, which is like a lot to juggle on the first session. When I did it, there was only three of you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was really easy with only three people.
Yeah.
And the more people, the more like distracted they get and stuff.
I think because we've done it before, though, that kind of could judge what sort of roles you'd want to do and what we can do and what the possibilities are already.
Also, the other thing is, like, when I did it, none of us had ever played a role-playing game.
Exactly, yeah.
So it was like, I was literally reading the whole book because we were learning what strain meant, how combat worked, like how you could use different roles, the narrative system, everything we were learning for the first time. Whereas I suppose you didn't want to read everything.
Which is
like, yeah, like, by the way, this is strain, like we know, we've been playing for months.
So if there's extra rules, then I don't know because I didn't read.
Well, when you get the core rule book, you'll be like, you'll read that, or like things relevant to that anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
So, what we'll do is now, seeing as you're GMing, when we get going, we'll do alternate weeks running. I run the Age of the Empire campaign, and Tiz is going to run the Age of Rebellion campaign. But for now, seeing as we just really start our characters, the ones that come at the beginning of the game, we've just done Whisperbase, we'll download Operation Shadow Point from the FFG website, which is a free expansion to the Whisperbase storyline, the starter characters, and we'll have Tiss running the session for maybe the next two or three sessions or however long it takes to complete that, and then we'll go back to EOE for a bit and we'll switch between the two, you know, sometimes every other week, or if we're in the middle of a story, you know, finish up that story or whatever.
Yeah, give us a break from that.
I mean, if we do that, that gives me a chance to get some stuff ready for Edge of the Empire, because I know my next campaign is going to be pretty lengthy. I sort of know what I'm doing with that.
Yeah.
And when I go back into that, by that time you'll have the core rulebook, which I might actually be able to pick up for you tomorrow.
Cool.
And that, when I take back over and stuff, that gives you a chance to really go over the core rulebook, because it's quite like a hefty tome.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't read the whole of the Edge of the Empire one.
Yeah.
It's pretty big. I mean, like, you use it mainly as a reference guide. Like, if you're going to, oh, I'm going to set a story on this planet, you see if the core rulebook has information on that planet, so you know what's going on there, or whatever. Or people want to buy new weapons, you see what's restricted, you might let some restricted items out. I use it mainly for that. I basically read only the section on run. There's a section which is all like tips for like games masters.
Okay.
I read that. I read like the basic rules just so I could like refresh them. And I know some of them will probably be different for Age of Rebellion. And there's also the story in the back of it, which I imagine you'll run.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And there's the one with your GM screen.
Yeah.
So you've got loads of fodder ahead of you. They're the first two. So when I did Edge of the Empire, the one that came with the GM screen, the one that came with the core rulebook, the first stories I ran as a GM for my characters, pre-made characters, because they're sort of made for starter characters. So I sort of did them to get the feel for like the proper rules, not the beginner rules and everything, everyone get their characters, and then, because they were like one session each, I think one was two sessions, they're not that long.
Yeah.
And then after that, I went in and started doing my own stories. I forgot you had all them stories as well, like we bought that stuff. That's cool.
Yeah, so I'll probably adapt to them anyway. I think definitely.
Yeah. Well,
I couldn't imagine reading the book. I was just itching to just
to make it your own mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best thing. Yeah, I mean, some of the stories, like I've ran a pre-made, I haven't really modified so much, because I'm like, well, that's a really good story, and if you guys are sort of following it the way it's supposed to be, I don't necessarily put too much of my own stuff on it, because I think it's a good story in the first place, but then some of them I've been like, needs a bit of tweaking, or like, not like I'm a better writer than the people who work for FFG, but like, I know what's going to work better for my group. You've got to like, know your group.
Yeah, I feel like I know.
Found a spider in our bed. Quite a big one.
Is that right?
Wow. In our bed?
Yep.
Just remember this.
It's not.
Okay. It's just a house spider.
It was.
You're listening to
Evacuate.
Spiders Anonymous.
What are we talking about?
Sorry. Yeah, I think I know the group now well enough. Especially after that game. That I can kind of see. I mean, I'm not going to say I can predict everything that they're going to do, but yeah, I kind of get an idea that there will do something out of the ordinary, like push the Atwalker over,
yeah,
and just do some crazy stuff to the the surrounding objects.
Now you've GM'd.
Yeah.
Can you see how hard it is to try and keep everyone focused?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
It's so fucking hard.
Although, in that particular game, it wasn't so much of a problem because I was trying to, like, gather my thoughts and read the book. So anything that sort of drifted off, it was sort of like, cool.
I think that's the problem, though, because it was like every now and then people were drifting off, but you were using that to knuckle down on what's coming up next. Mm. You'd be reading for a little while, and then it'd be hard to, like, bring them back.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas if you already know the story, like, if you guys start drifting away, I try and, like, grab your attention.
Yeah.
I got to really try and grab your attention again before you spoil, because I know once you go off and start talking about shit or something.
Yes.
which was a genuine conversation in the middle of this one. Once you start talking about that and everyone goes off, everyone's away from the game. So once I see it going off, I've got to be like, oh, and then fucking the Babadook appears.
I think that's what happens when you, like...
you can't let it slip.
When you're reading out the sort of surrounding scenery and where they could use those things to do stuff, they kind of miss those because they're already in their own conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So they're listening to the main points, they're not listening to the little bits I throw in. That's why I've had the perception for that vent.
Exactly, that's where you get the hints for the best things to do.
Because I feel like if it's said, then it must mean something, otherwise it wouldn't be said. Although, being a player, I understand how hard it is. In theory, it's easy to sort of say, pick apart everything you say.
Mm.
But I know from playing that most of the time you say, oh, you could have done that. I'd be like, oh, why didn't I think of that?
And so you wouldn't say, like, you enter a room and say all the stuff, you wouldn't be like, there's a cabinet in the corner without there being something worth looking for in that cabinet.
Yeah.
But I've done that when you guys have been like, oh, we're going to wait to go search for a moment. There's jack shit in there, sorry.
I feel like sometimes we've been rooting around in places where there's nothing, and then you'll go give us a massive thing, and in retrospect we could have jumped on that, like we have everything else, but because we've been let down before, we kind of take that onto the next room and think, oh, we're not going to look in this one.
Yeah,
when you've already dropped the big hint about, like, books and certain things
with the I do that a lot where I know, I always know, like, say I've got loads of little storylines planned. The way I do my own stories is like, it's like one massive story, but loads of little episodes, but they all tie together. So, like, normally one of my stories will only last one session, but it's like a smaller part of a bigger story. And there's little, see, I know, like, the next story, I'm like, well, I can pick from any of these five little sections I've got planned. And I can sort of say to you, what direction do you want to go in? And I'm like, okay, I'll pull that story out. And I always have a few different things planned. And knowing that, I lay seeds in my stories for any of the upcoming stuff, which could then pay off later.
Yeah, yeah. I like Easter eggs.
Like you find in the books on that guy's cabinet, and then the next one you're going to the guy who, like, wrote those books. Like,
yeah.
It was like you didn't notice at the time, but I put little seeds in.
Yeah.
And that's more satisfying to me than it is to you. I'm like, oh, I wonder if they'll notice.
It's probably more satisfying to us in retrospect when you tell us.
Yeah, well, I tell you, you never actually notice yourself.
We don't notice them in the game.
Something else I was going to ask. Oh, when you look through the story, is there any stuff you just sort of, like, skipped over?
There were certain parts of it, but I didn't completely skip.
Mm. But you gave us an easy way around.
Yeah. There were some parts of it where it sort of directs you to one place, and then in the back, I mean, for instance, the officers' quarters, there was no mention of it anywhere.
All right.
So it was like, oh, don't go there.
So you were, that's why you were trying to, like, sway me.
You guys the other way.
It was a good job I told us to do that knowledge check. But when I said that, you must have been like, oh, yeah, do that.
Yeah, that's it. But because the book, again, I don't want to give away the story, but because the book doesn't really, I was trying to find where the guy was, because I didn't know whether he was going to be in the room that we went to.
Mm.
Yeah, it could have been a complete, it could have been the office quarters, but it's just because it's not really bold print. It doesn't really, like, so you can't really pick it. You can't skim read it. Actually.
So would you have liked to have read the story before you ran it?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Mm.
But that's the way it is.
Well,
the next story, I'll be reading it. Like,
yeah. I remember when I ran Long Arm of the Hutt, which was the follow-up to the Edge of the Empire one, I must have read that like cover to cover 3 times. Because I was so like, okay, now this is like big boy GMing.
Yeah.
So I had to like have it down pat in my head, like I need to know exactly where this is going.
Yeah.
I was so paranoid about like running it and not like, I didn't want to freeze up, like, oh, how do I do that? Oh, can they do that? Like, I needed to know exactly where the story was going, exactly how I was going to run it. So I, like, read it. And, like, the first session I did of it, I struggled a bit. Even though I'd read it, just because it's, like, a big learning curve.
Was that at my house?
Though? Yeah.
That was quite a hard session.
Yeah. And then, especially because there was, like, 6 of us playing. When it's a big group like that. And it was the same amount as tonight.
It was kind of a Saturday night.
Yeah.
We had a lot of energy going for me.
Yeah, I always like the subdued energy of the room in midweek sessions.
Yeah. It's better, it's just enough subdued that we can focus a little bit.
Yeah.
Although sometimes not.
Sometimes it's fucking painful trying to GM. You want to get on with the story, you want to push on, and everyone's like not paying attention. And you read out or like describe the room and like no one's listening.
I guess for a GM.
And you don't want to be like, everyone listen to me, and like be that like party pooper, and then everyone's in like grumpy mood for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
You want them to want to play.
Yeah.
So when they're not paying attention, it's like, come on.
I guess for the GM though, the excitement of the game, like the excitement we get on the telling the story, whereas their excitement is sort of like rolling the dice and doing stuff with the character.
The other thing is, as tips for you, if someone in the group seems to be getting distracted, almost like give that person a moment.
Yeah.
Like make something happen that's specific to that character, like give them the spotlight for a minute and then they're suddenly drawn back into it.
Yeah.
You have to like gauge everyone at all times.
Yeah.
And the bigger the group, the harder it is.
Yeah, it is hard. Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking forward to seeing like the stories. Maybe then, when I'm kind of in control of it, as far as the story goes, that's when I'll start noticing those gaps a bit more.
Yeah. I am going to start putting a rule for no phones at the table. I don't want to put it in place because I don't want to be grumpy, but at the same time, it's like,
yeah,
that is the one, as soon as people sway off, like they've got that distraction on the desk right in front of them.
Yeah.
And none of us.
Although we did do it for one session, and that went swimming.
What, no phones?
Yeah, we did it. Was it last session?
Can't remember.
Yeah, because it was 2 weeks ago, it was last session. We had no phones and it worked.
I'm going to start putting that in place then. Yeah, just no phones at the table.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you want to check, your phone, reason. You know, every now and then, like normally 2 or 3 times during a session, we'll stop and make a cup of tea.
Yeah.
In that like 5 minute break, everyone check your phone. Oh, I've got text, whatever. Do what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
But and as soon as it starts off again, I'm like, I might get a fucking plastic box and keep their phone in there because it is infuriating.
Yeah, yeah.
That is my biggest. That's my biggest.
It's not an unreasonable thing. Like, I wouldn't say it was like a party thing. It's just a place.
I think if the phone is there and people's mind wander, they instantly go to it.
That's just the culture these days, though.
Yeah. I mean, I've literally only got my first smartphone in like the last few months, so I'm still not like. I never pick up my phone during the game.
I'm almost like a recovering addict. No. Like, I used to be, like, ridiculous, like, and I'm trying, because I realise the trap, I'm trying to pull myself away, it's hard.
I just don't have much, I don't know what other people are looking at when they're looking at. Oh, we're going off track now.
Do you know what?
Stay on target.
Stay on target.
Well, I don't know what it is, I don't have much of an online presence.
I almost go on the internet and I just browse anything to try and get some morsels of information, and that gives me a lead, and then I'm just like, oh, okay, I wonder what that, you know, you just like, you think, oh, when's No Man's Sky going to come out, and you keep checking release dates, and this
I just have a routine, I guess, with the internet. Like when I come in from work, I check and name drop some websites. Now there's like certain websites I check like daily, and that'll give me the up to the minute news of everything I care about.
Yeah.
So I'll go on Comic Vine and I'll get all the newest comic book news. I'll go on GameGrader, I'll get the newest gaming news. I have a few websites I go through as well and go for music. Albums coming out, use Album of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
I go on a few different websites and I get all my news for that day. And then I'm like, I'm up to date on everything.
Twitter is more of my comic thing.
All right, Comic Vine is the one I go to daily. But it's really, they're all biased.
Yeah.
And I find it very DC biased. Even though I read a lot of DC stuff, I'm like, man, I wouldn't come here if I was a Marvel fan. And they do have like, there's like,
sounds like the best place ever.
There's one. Although they've been giving the Star Wars comics 5 stars like across the board every time.
You would do Star Wars.
Oh, they gave Darth Vader issue 2 4 stars in Comic Con.
4 stars.
Yeah,
that's fair.
I agree with that. It's not as like high octane, but you can't have every issue being 5 star.
Yeah.
You need the slower points. I'm glad there are people keeping it in order. Because as soon as things start like contradicting each other,
yeah,
I start losing interest.
If it does compromise the integrity of any of the stories, you'll start losing interest in the canon.
Yeah.
And it will fall to bits.
Yeah.
The whole appeal
they've got
of these new books is the fact that you realise that this is the rich story.
Yeah. And it feels like the real story. Everything that I've read so far or seen so far in the new canon feels real.
It
feels
like pick holes in it this early. You know, there's a big legacy.
Yeah.
That needs to follow, and it needs to stay strong.
Okay, so I guess we'll wrap up there. What I'll do is I'll put this up as a short episode. I recorded our session with Tiss today, and what I'll do is I'll edit some of that material and pull moments of the game out, and then for the next podcast, we'll listen to some clips from that, and I can talk to Tiss about sections of the game. You know, a little bit of like in-game session listening and a little bit of us commenting on the game. Basically just an examination of like new GMing for the first time and the beginner game for Age of Rebellion without any spoilers for the story if people haven't run it. And the difficulties of GMing and running a group and anything else that comes up. So next time, talking about some... Next time on Double Triumph, talking about... GMing for the first time, look back at it after like you've come away from it for a little bit. If anyone's contacted us on Twitter, we'll talk about whatever they've tweeted us. We'll try and have a guest on, possibly.
Maybe the new Star Wars comic that's out. Maybe
yes.
A few snippets. No spoilers.
Yes, possibly. No spoilers.
We'll cut the spoilers out.
Yeah.
We'll bleep them out.
Basically, every week we'll talk about what's going on with the Marvel Star Wars comics. Not for too long, for anyone who's... not interested.
Yeah.
We'll talk about what's going on in either of our games. We'll talk about any stuff that's come up with news in Star Wars. Talking of that, in the cut episode we talked about, in the last episode of Rebels, they would tease the arrival of Vader to bring him into Series 2. And today, it was announced, or yesterday, it was announced that the last episode of Rebels will have Darth Vader in it.
Exactly. You heard it here first. Well, actually, you didn't because we're already deleting the episode. You heard it now first.
You heard it now, but I said it before.
Yeah. We're just telling you that you said it. Just take it somewhere. Just believe that.
So until next time, message us on Twitter. That's at Bob Shoy, at BobSHoy.
Or at TissRWolf, TissArewolf.
And subscribe. We're now on iTunes, so subscribe on iTunes, Double Triumph. And until next time, see ya!
That's a good sign.